Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Camp. This might be your date with destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and welcome. Hello? Hello? I don't know what that was. This is Robert Lee Camp, and welcome to the Mr. Destiny radio show. I hope you guys are having a great week so far. Just got started. Monday. Some people regret Mondays. Some people really appreciate Mondays. Our society here is sort of geared up to be more or less Monday back to work. It's a real drag kind of an experience. And Friday is always a happy day because everybody's getting off work. And so they work all week doing something they don't really like to do and get off work on Friday and then go out and spend all weekend sort of rewarding themselves for working a job that they dislike. And so they do all kinds of things like overindulge in drinks and food and other things in order to kind of make up for this week that's gone by that, you know, was so difficult to get through. I think Wednesday is hump day, right? If you get past Wednesday, you're like, you're coming in and sliding in the home plate there to get out of there on Friday and leave the job and then come back on Mondays, and then Monday becomes back to work day and you're sweating and toiling and struggling. I guess that's how it goes. Personally, I've rarely worked a job that was like that, where it was 9 to 5, but I have worked some, and I know how that mentality can be, can certainly be. And you know, most of us, I think most people really do work jobs they don't love because we don't really know any better. We just don't know we could actually work a job that we love and get paid handsomely or really well for doing something that we love to do. So we end up working, just taking whatever's offered to us, and it's not the worst thing in the world. Most of us are pretty resourceful. We can work a job that we don't like for a while, and it's okay. Turns out, though, as you get older, if you do work that you really don't like, that's distasteful to you in some way, it actually can cause physical problems. People can actually get really sick from working a job that, doing the kinds of work and things that really, and doing it for the wrong reason, like doing it just for whatever. Like some people work and try to be successful to prove to the world that there is, that they are worthy. And so they'll work and they say, well, if I make a lot of money, that proves I'm worthy, and they'll work really hard, but they will have health problems and other problems as a result of that work. In other words, because they're doing it in that action, in that frame of mind, that work of not loving it and coming from the wrong place, coming from a place basically of lack. You know, I'm not enough as I am. I have to work really hard to be worth living and taking up space and breathing the air on this planet. So there's this underlying attitude that's driving them, and you'll see a lot of people in life who are very successful, but what you don't see is that it's being driven from something that's invisible that is not a healthy thing, and you'll see it result in problems. You'll see them get physical problems, like have accidents on the job, or they will get sick, carpal tunnel syndrome. I mean, I seriously do not understand why anybody should have carpal tunnel syndrome. The only time you can get carpal tunnel syndrome, I've been typing on computers for 20 years, and the only time you can get that is if you're doing something, typing, and there's stress in your body, which means you're not enjoying what you're doing, which means you're working a job that you don't love. And then if you're doing that, you can have all kinds of ailments, not just carpal tunnel syndrome, but you can have all kinds of problems. You can have back problems. You can have feet problems. You can have stress problems of all different kinds. You can get overweight. There can be all these things come from working a job that you don't really love. And then, or working a job that you're doing because you're doing it from a place of a sense of lack about yourself or from a place of fear. And I wanted to talk about fear tonight. This is the topic for tonight. So this is kind of a nice segue into that. But before we go into that in more detail, let's talk about what day today is today. Today is January 21st, and this is right on the cusp where some birthdays of this, some years, this day falls in the Aquarius, and some days this day, some years this falls in the Capricorn. So anyone born today, you would have to do a chart to find out if they are actually an Aquarian or a Capricorn. It just so happens that this particular year, right now, today, the sun is in Aquarius. So anybody born today, on this day, will be an Aquarius. And most people born this day are actually Aquarians, okay? Most people. Born today is Gina Davis and also Telly Savalas, Charlotte Ross, an actress. Anybody else recent? Let's see here. Richie Havens, a musician. Placido Domingo. And Emma Burton. So we have a few people that we know born today, but this is a Six of Diamonds day. And what's very interesting about Six of Diamonds people is, if you haven't met any Six of Diamonds, you don't know about Six of Diamonds people, you'll find it to be quite interesting. Most Six of Diamonds people are super aware of what they owe and who they owe. So, you know, like if they have a debt out there in the world somewhere, they're aware of it. So, and they don't like it. They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to have to think about it, but they can't stop thinking about it. So these are the people that will actually go out of their way to pay their debts way ahead of time. I've known Six of Diamonds people that will pay their utilities in advance even. They'll pay their utilities ahead of time, just so they won't have to be thinking about that or wondering or worrying about it. And in general, you can lend money to Six of Diamonds people and they're going to pay it back and they'll pay it back soon because they don't want to have to think about that. I mean, if they did actually want to borrow from you. Now, just to be clear, though, there's another kind of Six of Diamonds person that is taking the whole responsibility around money from the other side of the coin. And these people, these Six of Diamonds people, feel like the world owes them a living. And I've known a couple of guys who were just basically, they were really good looking, charming, and they would meet women who had money, they would start a relationship with them, and they would expect the woman to basically take care of them financially. We expect a woman to provide for them and to fund their dreams. And then once the woman ran out of money, which often would happen, they would pack up and leave and go find somebody else. So you'll find these kinds of Six of Diamonds people too. And Six of Diamonds women, it's known that many Six of Diamonds women will marry a man who is wealthy, because there's a sense of entitlement there. All Six of Diamonds, they have this past life thing. They remember. They in their back of their mind, they think somebody out there owes me something. So you'll find Six of Diamonds people who play the lottery because they're thinking, my boat's going to come in. Somebody, the universe, God, somebody out there owes me money, and it's going to come to me. So the Six of Diamonds woman will actually marry a wealthy man frequently. Not always, but frequently. And some of them are quite beautiful. And they will then take the money of the rich man and they will redistribute that money to other people in some way. They will put that money to good use. I've known a lot of Six of Diamonds women, and I've seen this be very, very consistent It happens a lot. So you'll find that Six of Diamonds women are looking for a man with financial resources. And it's generally an issue there in that. And that doesn't mean they're the kind of person that expects that so much, but they want it on some level. They really do want it on some level. So that's Six of Diamonds. Very interesting people. Not the easiest card to have in the relationship department. These people are, they can be very competitive, like all the sixes can, which means they could be, there could be a lot of fighting going on in the relationship with the Six of Diamonds. That can be one issue. And the other is that they have this Ace of Hearts and Saturn in their life thread, which means that there's a sense of loss inside, very deep inside of them, that makes it difficult for them to really open up and really trust people and feel safe in relationships. So their relationships, they always have a happy face, but underneath that happy face is a person that's basically kind of lonely inside. It's very frequent to find people that are very lonely who are Six of Diamonds. Some of the best sports figures are Six of Diamonds, though, like Joe Montana and other people, like, you know, some of the best sports people of all times have been sixes, and Six of Diamonds is one of the common ones that you'll find. Responsibility towards value. That's what the card's all about. And if they're born today, if they're born today, they're going to be an Aquarian, so they would also be an Ace of Diamonds. So this particular birthday today most likely would be an Ace of Diamonds, and that person is going to be very ambitious. And the males of this birthday will have a lot of them because of the Ace of Diamonds ruling card. So here you have it. You have this system of cards, and we so much enjoy using it. And, you know, it really provides some understanding about ourselves. It provides understanding about our life, understanding about our relationships, some of our karma. Sometimes some people find out from their cards, they find out, you know, what's the best career is for them. They get hints on that level. They understand why they have been the way they are. This system is just a true system that was designed to bring people self-understanding. This, but it's never been really brought out as much as it has in the last 10, 15 years. It was basically kind of hidden away. Even when I first discovered some of the information about it almost 20 years ago, or 20 years ago or so, you know, it was really kind of hidden, and I was just karma, I guess, and fate that led me to this system. And when I saw it, I was just so blown away by it that I had to get involved. I thought this is a good project. Bringing this to the world would be a great project for me, and I dedicated myself to it, and I've been doing it ever since. And it's been very, very rewarding on many levels for me. I really, truly get fulfillment doing this work. By the way, the moon is in Cancer. I don't know if you noticed it. We had a full moon. Actually, the full moon is tonight, I guess, actually, now that I think about it. It's going to be a big old moon. We were out last night. I don't know if anybody noticed this. Last night, the moon was pretty full, and it was pretty up high in the sky. And I don't usually notice this, but last night I noticed a lot of people out acting really nutty, like lunatics, you know. And the word lunatic comes from the word luna, which means the moon. And tick, I guess that means kind of like, you know, somebody who gets ticked off because of the moon. Something like that. But people were acting really strangely last night when we went out to see the movies. Maybe you'll notice that too. And they've proven, they have statistical evidence now to show that during full moons, people do more crazy things. There's more crime. There's more acting out. There's more over-the-top behavior happening with people on a full moon. And here we are looking at a full moon. And it's in the sign of Cancer right now, which is its own home sign. Maybe that has something to do with why everybody was so emotional last night, because moon in Cancer is the strongest sign of the moon. It's the most emotional sign of the moon. In Hindu astrology, they really consider the moon to be the planet that actually affects the mind the most. So they look to the moon in a chart to see how the person's mental disposition is and how well they can reason and think and so forth. Very interesting perspective, the Hindu and astrology version So back to fear. You know, we all have fear. If anybody says they don't have fear, they're lying, okay? Because every single person who's on this planet will have fear one time or another. I mean, there could be the rare exception of the enlightened master who's incarnated on the earth. But even some men and people that I've known who are, you know, supposedly enlightened teachers, even they, those people, I have seen them experience fear. So it's almost like if you're down here on the planet, you're going to experience some fear. And what is fear actually anyway? Well, fear is basically a fear of several things. I mean, it's basically a fear of losing something or some quality, you know, and that, there could be many things. It's a fear of not having enough of something. Like it could be even like a fear of not having enough self-worth, for example. It could be a fear of not having enough, you know, basic stuff like money, protection, you know, good health, those kinds of things. It can be that basic. But most of the fear that we experience in our society today is psychological fear. And it's fear that hits deeper chords within us. Now, this may seem really bad in a way, but actually, when you step back and look at it, it's really an evolution from just the basic fears of surviving. Because, you know, if you're living in, like, out in the jungle or something, and your life depends on you hunting down an animal and killing it and eating it, your life is a lot about survival, and you don't get a chance to really even deal with psychological issues all that much. Because you're focused on survival. And when the energy gets that low in the body, it's right down to root chakra, the survival chakra of a body, the bottom chakra. Then, you know, you're working off instinct a lot, you know, fight or flight instinct kind of stuff. But as we go up, the fears that come up are affecting different areas. And all fear is an energy going to the lower level. When we're afraid, our energy is going down in some way. We're going to a place where the reality is less than safe and less than loving and less than happy and less than joyous and less than being expanded and feeling like expressive and open and free and all those things. So fear is always a withdrawal. It's a caving in where we're constricting, we're shrinking, as it were. Our energy is shrinking. That's why we say he or she was cowering with fear. When we're cowering, we're stooped down and we're hunched over, or we're in like a position we're ready to fight somebody. So we have fear, and everybody has it, and we all have different fears. Everybody's different. The things that set me off will be, they might be similar to other people's, but they have different stories behind them and everything. I mean, we all have certain needs in life, and if our needs aren't getting met, we're going to be afraid. We're going to be afraid. And out of that fear, out of the fears that we have, all sorts of behaviors can evolve. All sorts of behaviors can come up.
Yeah.
Some of these behaviors are just basic taking care of ourselves, while other behaviors can be very complex psychologically. For example, if I'm afraid, I can actually act like I'm actually more brave. I can do things that seem to be braver, and I can act smarter, for example. I play this game online a lot. And there's a lot of people online, and they're interacting. And I sit back and watch people interact, and I see them talking to each other. And I see them. I see one person will like. A lot of people will insult each other, and it's like young kids. And when you're a young kid, I don't know if you've been in elementary school, but everybody in elementary school kind of, they just throw insults around to each other all the time. It's like a constant barrage of, you know, being taunted by your fellow classmates. So some of the people online, they'll just say things, and they're not really doing it intentionally, but the other person will take it personal, and you'll watch, they'll just get into an argument and start throwing words back and forth, and they'll be trying to be wittier than the other person. It's like a mental contest. But at the heart of it, the other person had to be irritated, and when they were irritated, that's when all the things started, all the banter started. So I see this, and I can see how fear is at the bottom of all that, and I can see how everybody is really afraid. I remember once I took this workshop, and in the workshop, this was actually called, I shouldn't even say what it's called, but it was a training thing that lasted about a week. And there was one session where we really got to see that, first of all, how afraid we were, each of us, or how afraid I was, I should say. But then we got a chance to see that everybody in this world is really afraid. Everybody's really afraid. And it was kind of a relief to realize that most people are a lot more afraid than you are or than I am. So these fears come up, and then out of that fear, all sorts of behaviors will happen. One of the most common behaviors for fear is anger. Underneath all anger is fear of some kind. Fear. But, you have to be able to trace it back to see what it is. You may or may not be able to trace it back, but if you take the time to really explore, actually even the emotion of anger has the same symptoms of fear. There's quick, short breaths, for example. The breathing pattern is almost identical. And there's a whole feeling of, it's like I have to fight now. I have to fight because something has been offended or defended, needs defending in this world that I'm living. I'm no longer safe. I have to fight. And fighting is not something that we just like to do for the most part. We do it because we feel like we have to. We do it because we feel like we have to fight in order to survive, in order to do what we got to do, to have what we have in our life. So these fears come. And then out of that comes all sorts of behaviors. And some of it looks very sophisticated. If you watch movies a lot, or like I do, or TV, you'll see all these little plots and things. And if you just trace the fear in those shows, just look at who's afraid and what they're afraid of, you can learn so much about yourself and about other people, because we all have these fears. We all are afraid. And there's something about fear, like, the way I like to look at this for myself is that inside of me, there is a young man about 5 years old who never really grew up. There's a kid inside of me that's really afraid, and he wants to feel safe. It's like me when I was five. I just wanted to be safe, and I wanted to know that I was okay and that everybody loved me and that I'm doing a good job and I'm a good boy and all those things like that. So now I'm an adult, and I'm still reacting like a five-year-old in a lot of situations. I'm blowing up, I'm getting angry, I'm yelling, whatever I'm doing. Now, as an adult now, I still have this five-year-old inside of me, and I've learned that in order to overcome the negative behavior that I was having in my life, which was a lot of fighting in relationships, blaming other people in situations, I realized that I had to find a place where I could take care of myself, where I didn't need the external situation or people around me. I had to get to a place somehow where I didn't need them to feel safe and to feel complete. The trouble was, in my particular case, is that I didn't really like that part of myself. I didn't like being afraid. I didn't like being needy. I didn't like it that I even had needs, because I have another part of me that's very strong and wants to be, like, self-sufficient and doesn't need anybody and, wants to be like that. And I think a lot of you can relate to this. We have parts within us that are in conflict often. So that really hampered my progress. Like, I wasn't able to just love that part of me that was, I just wanted to push it away. I wanted to ignore it. So, like, if my relationship went down the tubes because of my fear coming up, I would just look for a new partner, because I was good at finding new partners. I wasn't good at dealing with myself. I was good at finding new partners, which is why I was married three times. But really, things really didn't change for me until I learned that I have fear within me. It's my fear. It's self-generated, and I can do something about it. I don't need to change the situation around me. I don't need to change relationships. I don't need to change anybody in my life. When I get afraid, there's a thing I can do to feel better without changing what's outside of me. That's called self-mastery. That's one form of self-mastery, is looking at inside And this is what I'm all about. This is what this show is all about on some level. It's really about what my books are about, really, is about looking within for the answers instead of trying to change the outside world. That's what the Ace of Spades is all about, the symbol. That this whole system is symbolized by the Ace of Spades is an acorn with secrets within it, the true secrets of what's really happening in the world. So when we get afraid, you know, most of our behavior, right now I can tell you that a lot of people, and probably a lot of people listening tonight, your whole life is governed by reactive behavior. You're not really making choices, you're just reacting to things, and you have developed a coping mechanism that causes you to automatically go into fighting mode, arguing mode, outsmarting mode, pulling back mode, passive-aggressive mode, all these different things you've used, you've learned to do in order just to maintain your sense of safety and sanity. But it's all fighting, and it's not dealing with the real problem. The real problem is within us. The real problem is the fear that we're feeling. Nobody wants to feel afraid. Everybody wants to make everybody, the whole world change. Just don't cause me to look at my fear or to feel it. I don't want to experience it. That's how we are. This is like a cultural thing, I guess. Maybe it's worldwide, because there seems to be a lot of bad behavior all over the planet right now. You know, people behaving badly. And, you know, bad behavior comes from fears that are not being dealt with in a positive, constructive way. It's people running around with unfulfilled needs, trying to change the world to make everything, to make their world okay. And then because they were so involved and so wrapped up in their own concerns, they lose concern for other people. And this is where Saturn comes in. This is where lessons come in, because Saturn's all about, hey, how is it affecting those people around you? How is your behavior affecting the people around you? So, you know, the way Saturn works is he brings misfortune to us, but only when we're misbehaving. Only when we're behaving badly does Saturn come along and cause a real problem. And that real problem will always have the distinct characteristic of showing us exactly where it is we're not looking at ourselves and not doing what, not feeling our fear or dealing with it. The problem will come up, and it will block that external change that we're trying to make to feel safe and cause us to face what's going on the inside. That's the nature of Saturn. That's the nature of karma. That's the nature of this world on some level. There's nobody out there, I don't care how famous they are, how popular, there's nobody out there that's free from this. All of us have to deal with this. And some of us have to deal with it more than others. And we all have the ability to work through it and to get better at it. We all have the ability to learn how to be with that injured, afraid, wounded child inside of us, the child that we all have. You know, take a picture of yourself when you're about 5 or 6 and just look at that picture and go, yeah, look at the face and go, look at that child who just wants to feel loved, just wants to feel protected, just wants to feel safe, just wants to know that he or she fits in, is embraced by everybody. You know, we have a need to belong. If you feel like, if your need to belong in a group is being thwarted, you could go ballistic on people. It's that important. I mean, the more important the need, the more drastic the response can be. We all need to feel good about ourselves. We need to feel like our existence is justified. These are things that everybody needs, and if those needs aren't getting met by external situation, people can go ballistic on each other, and the buck has to stop somewhere. It has to stop with each of us looking at ourselves and dealing with what we're feeling inside. I like that the words of that song by Sting, who, and at the end of the song he goes, men go crazy in congregations and they only get better one by one. Yeah, you can join up with a bunch of other people who all agree there's a problem in the world, and you can all join up and form a, you know, change the world group. But you're all, each of you, avoiding your own fears and the lack inside that's motivating you to have the world be different than it is, instead of dealing with your own inner lack. This fear is coming from a sense of lack on the inside. Just imagine a world with less fear. There would be less fighting. It's interesting when you watch the Star Trek. I think I've watched every Star Trek episode there is. Most of them about four times. And I love that show. I remember, though, there's a several episodes where they talk about and bring forth the notion that in this future time, they abolished poverty completely. So there was no more greed. It eliminated greed. Now just imagine a world without greed. You could have anything you want materially. There was no... And I remember there was one show that was really interesting because they brought this guy, they found this ship that had these people that had been preserved. And they brought them all they brought them back to life. They had been, cryogenically frozen, and they brought them back to life. And one guy was this really powerful businessman, and he couldn't get it. He really couldn't get off trying to control and dominate everybody over money, and there was no issue about money, so it was really a difficult transition for him to be in a world where there was no poverty and no greed, because he was so used to having power through his money and his attorneys and greed and all that, which was based in his fear, that it was hard for him to let go of that way of being. So this is the challenge that each of us faces, and each of us can have a life that is really beautiful and magnificent by rooting out all of our fears, getting to know them, getting to own them, to take responsibility for them. Just that alone, just being responsible, just realizing that it's my fear, can stop me from fighting other people or trying to change other people. That alone can be life-changing. And don't try to get your partner to do this, by the way. Don't try to get your partner to change or to... You need to do this. You can't expect other people to do it, because even that expectation is based in a fear. So we each have to do it on our own. And we can't expect it from others. We have to do it for ourselves. We have to look at our fears. The best we can do for other people is be a living example for them. Be a living example of a person who is managing their fear. And the most miraculous things can happen. I need to share this with you, like, I've watched myself a lot, over my years here, and sometimes just not speaking when I'm upset, like I would normally say something, sometimes just the act of not saying anything and just holding back a bit can allow a miracle to happen. So it's really quite amazing. We just put a little effort in to working on ourselves, and the rewards can be huge. There can be a huge payoff and a sense of being back in the flow and being back in control of your life. If you really want to have power in this world, you're going to have to learn to master yourself. You're never going to feel powerful trying to change the world. There's lots of people out there, feeling powerful from changing the world, but they're not really powerful. They don't know it, but they're really completely locked in a fear pattern. We can be really, truly happy and have a lot less fear by dealing with the fears that we do have, learning how to be with them, acknowledge them, and then how to be with that part of us that's afraid in an accepting, loving, non-judgmental way. We have to be the perfect parent to the child within us. We have to be that parent. We have to be the one who gives to that needy side of us everything that it wants, everything that it needs, with no reservation. That's the challenge ahead of us. So, this is something that I work on. I'm a Cancer. Anybody born a Cancer, we're the neediest sign in the zodiac. Okay, so I know this pretty well. Hope this has been helpful to you. A couple of announcements. I just want to remind people that we're actually working on a love cards dating website. And it's going to be fantastic. You're going to be able to search, through thousands of people, hopefully, and find people that match you card-wise perfectly using all the technology in our software and our books. You're going to be able to get reports on people. You're going to be able to look and see when you're likely to meet somebody next. It's just going to be so much fun. We're expecting to have this done around May sometime, but I'll let you know as we get closer to it. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, it's time to call. If you're thinking of calling in tonight, please call in right now. We're going to take a short break. We're going to play a song off my CD, Bhakti Rock, and I'd like to hear the song Shri Ram. And when we come back, if we have some callers, we're going to take your calls and answer your questions. We'll be right back.
Bhajamanaram
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. This is the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. Hope you're having a great night. And this is where we start taking calls from listeners. And we happen to have Monica waiting on line two from Los Angeles. Are you there, Monica?
Yes, I am.
How are you, Monica?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. And are you March 9th, 1957?
I am.
Great. What can I do for you this evening?
Well, I kind of resonated with what you were saying about fear and fear. And just one of the reasons that I wanted to call was I am experiencing a lot of fear right now. And it has to do really around money.
Uh-huh.
And finances. And it's interesting because last year, 2007, was one of my best years ever. And then this month it stopped. And I'm not sure, astrologically or card-wise.
So it just stopped right now, just recently?
Just this month, mm-hmm.
The month of January?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hasn't it ever stopped before in the past?
Yeah, I've had stops before.
Yeah, so doesn't it always start up again later?
Yeah, but it's almost like I feel like I was on a roll and I was really putting everything into it, and it seems odd that it would just stop kind of.
What I would suggest to you is that you're not really in touch with your life as much as you need to be right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact that this came to you out like a complete surprise kind of indicates that you missed something, and you missed out on, like, what was happening. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, things happen to me, you know, all the time, but I always know, like, I always see the connection between what's happening and what's going on inside of me.
Well, it's interesting because I was thinking about it just before you got on the line, and then I thought maybe I'm not used to this kind of success, so I got scared and stopped it on some level.
That may be true, you know. This is what's so great, because life is like this, like it presents us with a challenge. This is a challenge for you, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the challenge have you do? It has you go within, which is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
See? And you're asking for answers. And this is really good, because this is great that you're doing it this way, because you're not out there running around trying to figure out what happened out there in the society, in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking inside, and that's the right place to look. And this will result in you being more and knowing yourself better, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know that you're going to have money. Now, exactly what you were doing and what that meant for you and, you know, why it all of a sudden stopped, whether it's temporary or whether it's a long-term stop, you know, these are all questions to be answered about your life. But really, the real most important question is, what is going on inside of you that would have this be like this? See, like,
yeah.
You know, we think we know our stuff, and we think that, like you say, I really wanted that to be successful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it stopped means there's some part of you that didn't, like you were saying. Maybe that's the reason. But the fact that it stopped so suddenly is a strong indication that there's some part of you that is actually pushing the opposite direction. Now, I know you're an ace of spades, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all the aces, I'm an ace of diamonds ruling card, and all of us aces, you know what one of our biggest lessons is? It's like self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you relate to that at all?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we especially the ace of spades and ace of diamonds, those two more than the other ones, we measure our worth based on what we do in the world, our work. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm successful, I'm a good person. If I'm not, I'm not a good person.
Yeah, and it's actually something that I teach people. I mean, that's what my work is helping others with their self-worth. So.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
So what was different this year that made your work go better? I mean, what were you what was different about it? What was better about it? Was it more money? What was it?
Oh, yeah, it was a lot more money. I was in an expansion mode and, taking my my business to a completely new level.
And what's the new level? I mean, just give me a general idea of what that means or what looks like, a new level.
Well, having a large office suite, moving into a large office suite, having people working for me, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Increasing my overhead, increasing my definitely my income.
I see. Okay. So were you doing any teaching or anything? Do you do teaching groups at all?
Teaching on a one-on-one basis, yes, and looking at teaching in you know, more group settings in the future.
How about a book?
Books on its way.
Okay. Because, see, I think that's your next step. I think you need to be an author.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I've been writing all year articles for publication for magazine, but I haven't actually written a book yet.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot to teach people.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's only one of you, Monica, so there's no real competition.
Mm-hmm.
Your message is uniquely your message. And there's a bunch of people out there wanting to hear that. You have a King of Clubs result this year, which means moving into, like, that's a really strong card, can indicate becoming an author or recognized authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have 2 months, though, right, for that?
You do. You do have 2 months, yes.
But I have King of Clubs next year all over the place as well.
You are teaching next year, spreading the word. About, it's your environment card, and you got a Queen of Clubs long range. So, you know, I think whatever is happening in your business, maybe it's time for you to rethink how you're doing it so that you create the space for you to become a teacher instead of a one-on-one person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you follow me?
Yeah, I'm actually going in that direction, hiring people that can do what I do and me doing a bigger, you know, world, more of a bigger stage.
Yeah, I mean, you're at that age now where that's a good thing, the way to look at it. I mean, I have learned to delegate a lot in the last, I'm almost the same age as you, I'm a couple of years older, and I've learned that, you know, my success from here forth is not about me doing it all like I used to, but getting others to do it. Parts that I don't really want to do anymore, mm-hmm. and focusing on parts that I'm really good at and want to do.
Yeah, and with Ace of Spades, isn't it, it's got to be a spiritual approach towards life if the money's ever going to come.
Well, there's certainly challenges on every level with Ace of Spades. You have a lot of spiritual cards in here, but there are a lot of Ace of Spades who, like, you know, Pamela Anderson's an Ace of Spades.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call her spiritual, you know, doing any spiritual work. But still, they all have that potential, you see. And they all worry about money, and they all worry about love, too. That's part of the karma of an Ace of Spades.
Well, I feel like the love, you know, is good.
My
work and my marriage and
That's good to know.
You know, it's a Two of Hearts. I do have a Two of Hearts.
Two of Hearts is your ruling card. That's the sweetheart card.
Mm-hmm.
People with Two of Hearts rules are always just so affectionate and loving and considerate of other people. It's nice.
Yeah, and I bring that in with my clients too, and they keep coming back. So.
They probably feel special, you know, with you, and that's a big help. So when I look at your cards for this coming year, you have a lot of you have a lot of big power cards here. You got Jack of Diamonds, Pluto, Queen of Diamonds result, Queen of Clubs long range, King of Clubs environment. Look at all these powerful cards you have.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about rising up to a bigger level with your work. I really think that very, very. There's a lot more to it, of course. Jack of Diamonds, Pluto. It means you got to learn to promote.
Mm. doing a lot of that.
You gotta get the promoting, you know. You have a good product, and then you have to get it out there to people.
Yeah.
You have to find a way to reach them and let them know about it so they can decide if they want to try it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a big theme for you. There's a lot of, I see the writing thing being important. I also see the financials being important. Like, okay, not just good at what you do, but also really smart financially, business-wise.
Right.
The Queen of Diamonds result, becoming a businesswoman. You don't have any diamonds in your card. You know, you're an ace, you're a spade, and a heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to develop.
Yeah, I started this process a couple of years ago when I had a king of diamonds as my environment.
Oh, good.
That's
really appropriate. So it's all going to be good. I mean, even if you look next year, your Saturn cards are really good. It's not going to be any real problems. You're in Neptune right now, and Neptune is the hopes and fears time.
I always seem to have a funny time during Neptune.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're a Pisces. You're ruled by Neptune, so.
Yeah.
Don't let it play too many tricks on you.
Yeah.
You have an eight of hearts right now. You should be having fun, enjoying yourself.
Okay, sounds like a good plan.
You got 2 8s. I mean, I don't see any problem. I think it's all mostly just your perspective, I think.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So shift your perspective. Like maybe the universe is just saying, hey, get going with your other plans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get this thing going. I mean, really, if I were you, I'd be like making myself an author as fast as possible.
Yep.
As soon as you've written a book, Monica, everybody looks at you differently.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you've written a book, you're now a recognized authority in your field. Whether anybody ever read the book or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instant transformation.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good plan.
All right. Well, good luck to you. And don't remember that age 52 is coming up. That's the most beneficial, most powerful year of life. So you got some good things to look forward to.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Robert.
You're welcome, Monica. Thanks
Enjoy
for calling
your show
in
very much.
Well, okay. Thanks. Thanks for calling. I appreciate you calling in.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay. And we have Matthew waiting patiently on line 4. And we have 2 lines open, folks, so now's the time to call in. Is Matthew here?
Yes, I am. Hi.
You are the September 11th birthday.
Yes. Interesting birthday. Yeah.
Well, I think it's actually a pretty good birthday.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, it was. I just mean, with the events that progressed.
Yeah, that kind of colored your birthday in kind of a bad way.
It was actually... It was a really funny experience on the day that the 9/11 attack occurred. I was at school and everyone was very grim and talking about all this stuff, like all this about terrorists and that. And then my mom comes knocking on the door with a thing of donuts, saying, "Hey, guess what?" It was one of the funniest things I.
Yeah,
I was the only one laughing.
Well, I'm glad you have a sense of humor there, Matthew.
It helps quite a bit.
Well, I don't know if you know your cards, but you're a king of clubs, but you're also a jack of diamonds, so you do know how to have fun when you want to.
Yes, that makes quite a bit of sense.
Yeah. So what can I do for you this evening? You're born 1991, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, and what's
I
on
had,
your mind?
Hmm?
What's on your mind?
I had 2 questions, actually, about my future. The first one is I've been planning for the past, I don't know, it's been about maybe a year, a little more than a year. I've been interested in a subject called micronationalism. There are these the countries that were founded by people who bought land and then declared it separate from the country, you know, like there's several in
the U.S.?
Yeah, or like there's 25 in Australia.
Oh,
but I had the idea to start a country for mystics and enlightened thinkers and light workers, like a haven for people who are working with the higher forces, more specifically, so not to have to worry about the troubles of the physical world and to better focus on, you know, sort of, in, you know, spiritual progress, sort of like a spiritual haven kind of sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was planning on calling it the Kingdom of Lemuria, you know.
Okay. Uh-huh, sure, cool.
And what I wanted to know was, in accordance with my cards, is there some sort of big success or something along the way that would, you know, go with that in a positive manner, or something along that line?
Well, you know, your birth card is the King of Clubs, so you're a born leader.
Okay.
And King of Clubs are also very forward-thinking people. They're not, you know, like John Lennon was a King of Clubs, and George Harrison was a King of Clubs, and there's been, like, you know, tremendous, you know, Mozart was a King of Clubs. And
he was?
There's been tremendous people throughout history who have, you know, contributed great things to this world and still are, who are King of Clubs people. And it's a card that's got a lot of responsibility, you know, associated with it, and the ability to take it on and do something. Now, there's nothing in your card that necessarily says you would build a city of the future, but Walt Disney was a King of Clubs, and he basically built a city for children, you know.
There's a lot of creative people, it seems, that were King of Clubs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And not just creative, but they live by a certain truth, you understand? They live by a higher truth, and they would never... They would never lie, for example, and they would never compromise what they know is the real truth.
That sounds like me.
and we're so glad to have you guys around, actually, you know?
Oh, thank you.
Thank goodness, because it helps balance out the rest of us who are, you know, scheming and... Now, are you really only 16 years old?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, well, you sound much older, you know, talking to you.
I know. I've had so many people tell me I look older, I sound older, because I have a radio show that covers the occult, and I had an interview like two weeks ago, something like that, and the guy's like, what are you, like 25 or something? I was like, no.
Well, that's, you know, that certainly could be used to your advantage. Now, this system of cards, you know, I couldn't tell you when or if you're going to do this city, you know. But if you have this vision for your life, I'm certain it will bear some kind of fruit, you know.
That's good.
But one thing, you know, be really careful about your motives, because sometimes when we try to make something to help people, we have to be careful that we're not getting between them and their lessons in life. You understand?
Right.
So, like spiritual people, a lot of people who are spiritual, they really need to learn how to deal with the physical stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, I didn't mean entirely cut off from the outside world, but I meant more like a place where energies could be gathered. You know, I was just trying to.
Well, yeah, now that's good.
Figure out a way to describe it. You know,
I spent 10 years in a yoga ashram. We had 350 people living there. People could feel the energy of that place, like 5 miles away.
Yeah, you know, it's like a vortex almost, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the kind of thing
I
want to
do. And when you were there, and when you would go to this place and visit, your energy would get lifted up to the level of the group, and it would be a transformational experience just to be there for a few days.
And that's really the, you know, that very thing just sounds like it's like it's that community, just to bring spiritual people together and create that change in consciousness that could be carried through the wind to other people. You know, it's just like that.
Yeah.
It's something major like that.
Well, you know, that's a good, like, even the town of Asheville where I moved from a year and a half ago, there's so many conscious people in that town living there who've moved there, and there's so many, such a strong percentage of the population that are into spiritual paths one for another that you can feel the energy in Asheville when you drive into Asheville, too. it lifts you up. And it was funny because they just had a 2020 show last week, and they were talking about happiness and how certain countries are more happier than others.
I know, so, I missed that one.
And Asheville was mentioned in there as one of the happiest places in the U.S. I couldn't believe it.
God.
Yeah.
My mom mentioned something about that. She watched the program.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was really, really good. So I think you have a great idea. I think you should, do everything you can to bring that into fruition. I mean, it already is happening, but I think what you're doing is distinguishing it in a way that makes it easier to create it.
By making it a physical idea, you mean?
Yeah, the King of Clubs has a way of distinguishing things through words, making distinctions, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, like just the name you gave for your city, right?
Yeah. Based off the old mystic country.
Yeah.
In the Mediterranean.
Like New Lemuria or something. You call it New Lemuria, right?
New Lemuria. I was thinking of something like that, something along the lines. The Kingdom of Lemuria, Neo Lemuria.
Well, kingdom sounds a little bit weird because now there's got to be a king.
Well, it is in my title to be.
Oh, I see. Do we have a little God complex going on here, Matthew?
Oh, very much so, yes. I've accepted that.
Let me guess, there must be a string of girls in that little vision of your life somewhere.
No. Actually, I never thought of that.
Okay.
To be perfectly honest, that actually, what you said actually brought me to my second question, because it's not a string of girls, but I actually, the thing I am seeking even greater than starting this country is my soulmate in life, almost as if I feel a calling to seek out this person. And I was wondering if perhaps you could tell me something about relationship-wise with the cards.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll tell you what the cards say for you this year, because I have your spread right in front of me here, okay?
Ah, okay.
And this year began on your birthday, and it ends on your next birthday. And you have a very strong indication of being in a relationship by your next birthday.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and the feeling I get is that you're right on the money that there is. And I haven't told this to very many people, so I just want you to know that. I don't just tell everybody good news because they want to hear it.
All right. But
you're displacing the Six of Hearts. So this is saying you must really pay attention to this dream you have of somebody's out there for you, your soulmate, basically. And just really be with that, because that can happen this year.
Well, that's...
And you're young.
Very good.
Now, where is your radio show at?
Oh, my radio show, it's hosted by... website called Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Blogtalkradio.com.
Okay,
here's the URL. Do you want to write it down?
Well, no, I'm just asking. The guys here at BBS Radio might be interested in having you on here, too, if you want to do a show on this.
That would be very cool, because...
So why don't you just... why don't you hang up when we're done here and then call back, and they'll talk to you. They've already told me this, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So we just hooked you up.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome, man. Great to talk to you, and good luck, and keep your eyes peeled. This woman you're looking for, or whatever this relationship, I think it's really close. I think you're going to meet this person, like, before February 15th.
Really?
So you better be paying attention.
Excellent.
Okay, so call back and let us know what happened, okay?
Should I just call back on the what number?
Oh, well, you can use the same number you called on, okay?
All right.
Call back and talk to the station guys. There's Seth and Don are there. Don's one of the owners. And they're both saying, does he want a show on BBS? I'm sure you could arrange that with them, okay?
Excellent. Well, I could also contact Skype for the BBS radio.
Yeah, call back on the same number and ask for Seth or for Don.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Matthew, have a great night.
You too, Robert. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, well, we have Pamela waiting on one of the line two, but we're going to take a short break. And now we have a couple lines open, folks, so if you want to be one of the first callers when we come back, just give us a call. On this break, I'd like to hear the song off my CD called Shiva. And when we come back, we'll speak to Pamela Rose. So be right back.
Shiva Hare Shiva Hare Shiva Hare Shiva
Does that make sense?
I actually just came to that today. I was journaling and came to that. It's like, you know what? I'm not ready for any long-term relationship. As much as I'd like to have somebody in my life, I have to be the person that I am looking for. I don't want to be looking for somebody who fills the hole in me. I have to fill my own hole, and then
if you feel a sense,
a whole person.
That's right. If you feel a sense of lack inside,
I do.
That motivates you to be with somebody, then you're asking for problems. Because nobody can really do that for us, you know. I'm just going to say they might make us feel good for a while, but it'll always backfire eventually.
Yeah. You got the codependent thing right, but the other way. It's not that I want to take care of them. It's I want them to take care of me.
So well,
that's ability. It's like, so how am I going to take care of myself? Well, I've got to have a guy that can take care of me.
Well, you pick guys that were moon to you, and they will attempt to take care of you. But then you'll resent that, see?
Hmm.
See, you might need to learn how to take care of a man.
Well, I kind of grew up in a caretaking position. My mother's blind. I have a brother that's blind and mentally retarded. So I've been taking care of people since I was 5 years old. Until I got sick, amazingly enough, and then I needed to be taken care of.
That's probably why you got sick.
And that's why I got healthy, because broke up with the alcoholic relationship, and within a month, things got better. And
that
doing a lot
amazing.
Of spiritual work, and yeah, I was doing
that
a lot of spiritual
amazing.
Work, and bang, so I'm actually able to take care of myself now and have no clue how to do it.
Well, you know, hey, this is great. I think I'm so happy for you because you're like starting over again in life. How great.
Yeah, it is. It's a new beginning. 48, but new beginning.
And what's interesting, when you turn 49, which is, you know, in a few months, you actually begin a whole new 7-year cycle in the cards, too. So it's a whole nother, for you, it's like going to be a real new beginning your next birthday.
Okay, well, hopefully it'll be a good one.
Well, of course it will. They're always good. What do you mean? Hopefully it'll be a good one.
Hopefully it'll be a good one.
Oh, hopefully God will be merciful on me.
Yeah, that's a crock, huh?
Hey, you got a lot to be grateful for. And that's the last thing I want to remind you about is the real key to financial prosperity is gratitude. Is if we focus more energy on what we have already, that means more will be given to us, always. If we focus on what we don't have, then what we have gets taken away.
That is true.
Because whatever we focus on is what we create. See? So if I keep saying to myself, oh, I don't have enough, and look what I don't have, then...
You get more of what you don't have.
Yeah, our subconscious creates that for us. It says, fine, whatever else you... What else do you want? The subconscious doesn't edit. It doesn't judge anything as being good or bad. So it doesn't make it... It doesn't evaluate. It just says, oh, your wish is my command. So look at what you do have, and look at all the great things you have, and be grateful for that every day, and you'll watch... that good things will just keep coming to you over and over and over again. That's the trick to being a Seven of Diamonds.
Okay. Count my blessings.
Yeah. Look at what you got. Look around you. You're rich.
I am, actually.
You're rich.
I have been, and I'd like to say that way.
Yeah.
Continue it.
Well, that you will. If you appreciate what you have, it'll keep bringing it to you over and over again.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Pamela Rose. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you very much.
And for staying up so late.
Okay. Well, I'm a night person, so it works.
Oh, good. Take care, Pamela.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was very interesting. Now, let's see. We're going to take another short break. We're going to play the song Krishna Lullaby. And we do have a caller who we'll talk to when we get back, Rachel from Sacramento. Look forward to talking to you, Rachel. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're having a pleasant evening. We still have a few callers left. We certainly have one caller, at least. We have Rachel from Sacramento. Are you there, Rachel?
Hi, Robert. Nice to talk to you.
Same here, Rachel. How are you? You have the same birthday as one of my sisters.
Really?
Yeah, are you a little jokester?
Oh, I have a sense of humor. You wouldn't guess what I do for a living.
Do you work with kids?
No.
What do you do?
Well, I'm a Jack
salesman.
Diamonds.
Salesman.
Yep. Exactly. And you know what? It's weird. I've only been doing it for 5 years, and I never thought I would be a salesperson. But,
and then you discovered it's an easy, it's natural for you. It's like falling off a log.
It, you know, it is, and it doesn't even feel like I sell. Socialize, and then...
That's all selling really is. People get it all wrong. They think it's this big thing. Oh, I got to go learn how to sell. It's just learning how to be with people.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Like the best salesmen are just people that other people like. They just like to be around them.
Uh huh. And about 3 years into it, you know, I actually became a sales manager, and. This is kind of my question. It kind of leads into my, you know, career.
Okay.
And you know, I was a sales manager and actually started pretty much running this company. And okay. The owner of the company is a King of Diamonds.
Uh-huh, okay.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah, he's the birthday, the other birthday you gave, the
yes.
June 4th. Okay.
And so, it's a really weird story how I even got into the cards, but actually it was one of my clients. You know, I've studied astrology and numerology, you know, for years, and I was just, you know, concentrating on my work, but one of my clients is the one that had, she had love cards, and she let me borrow it.
Uh-huh.
And it was the strangest thing, because I read it, and it was probably 3 months before that, my husband went to a garage sale, and he brought home two huge pictures of cards, two cards. And this is so weird. And I kept on saying to him months and months, I said, you know, would you do something with those? They're ugly. I'm not hanging them in the house, okay? And so he finally took them, and he put them in the closet. And so I went into my client one day, and she gave me love cards. I took it home, and I said, oh, my gosh, I'm a Jack of Diamonds. I said, oh, one of those pictures is a Jack of Diamonds.
That is so great.
Isn't that just the weirdest thing? So guess where it's at? It is. I put a new glass in it because it broke. New glass. It is hanging in my office, and it is. Oh, I look at it every day. I walk. It's huge. Jack of Diamonds.
I love that. That's a great story, Rachel.
Isn't it? Oh my!
Oh, I thought you were gonna say the other one was their husband's card.
Well, no. He's actually, today's his birthday, so he's a Six of Diamonds.
Oh, okay. And an Ace of Diamonds.
And an Ace of Diamonds.
Were you listening earlier when I talked about this birthday?
I did. Believe me, I know. We've been together for a very long time.
Oh, okay, so yeah. you've already experienced some of that stuff.
Yes. Oh gosh.
So many women, so little time.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
It's a guy thing.
I know. But my question is, okay, yeah. I am in the position to purchase the company that I work for from this King of Diamonds.
Okay.
And I'm trying to, and it's probably going to be happening in 2008. And I'm, you know, trying to look at the cards and see, but I, you know, I'm just so concerned about if this is going to go right or not. I don't know if I see it. So
uh-huh.
That's why I called. Maybe you could help me out.
Okay, sure. Well, the influences this coming year,
mm-hmm.
the main influence is the Six of Spades. I think
uh-huh.
you saw that, right?
Yes. Will you explain that to me?
Yeah, and you have it as a Pluto card, too. So it's a double whammy, having it long range and Pluto, two out of five places. Of the five
uh-huh.
most important cards are the same card. Well, Six of Spades in this context is about doing the work that you were destined to do.
Wow. Well, I read that, but I thought, okay.
Uh-huh. And so, you know, the thing about your card is that Jack of Diamonds, I mean, my sister actually, she did all kinds of selling work. And you know what she does now? She started driving an ice cream truck.
Oh.
And now she has a fleet of ice cream trucks.
Okay.
But the Queen of Hearts part, you know, you're also Queen of Hearts, you know, and that
yes.
part just loves kids, and she just, you know, she's just so happy. I can't believe it, you know, doing this with the kids and stuff.
Oh, I don't have any children. Which is
yeah.
Is that kind of weird for a
no,
card?
Not really.
No.
I mean, she had a couple of kids, my sister, but I've seen lots of Queen of Hearts that don't have kids.
But boy, my nephews, they are just the apple of my eye. You would not believe. Oh.
Yeah, and my sister, it's her grandkids. She's got a couple of granddaughters, and you know, I'm always getting all these pictures in my email.
No.
You know, so anyway, the Six of Spades is in a doubly, it's almost like you have to go for whatever you think your dream really is.
Okay.
You know, and it's risky, of course. Life is risky.
Right. It's a major risk. It's a major decision for me.
It's risky,
really
but you know, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? I mean, this is what's up for you. This is what's on the plate. This is what's coming your way.
Right.
And I think you have good cards for it, actually.
So next year looks really... I mean, I was iffy about the spades. I was looking at all those spades and going, uh-oh. But then I'm looking at my individual periods and thinking, oh, those are not too bad.
Exactly. And even the spades, I mean, they're not... There's no bad spades here, actually. Because those 7 and 3, which are the two hardest ones, are actually both in good positions.
Uh-huh.
They're like... The result card is always good, and so is the environment. So there's not really a problem that I see here.
Now, what about the owner, which is the King of Diamonds?
Well, what about him?
In his spread, does it show that, you know, he...
Well, he's got a Five of Diamonds in Neptune, so he's certainly thinking of letting go of the business.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's certainly giving that some thought. And, I mean, to the degree that he wants to do it, this would indicate that he wants to do it.
He's having
now,
some major, major financial difficulties right
he
now.
Is. Oh, is the business not doing well, or is it personal stuff that's causing it?
The business is not doing well. He actually kind of handed over the finances to his accountant, and she thinks that she can run the business. And she's an Eight of Diamonds. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I don't get along with her at all because she's pretty much, you know, every day that she's with this company, it's losing its value, which is very strange. Reading the cards, I think, oh, gosh, you would think that she would be good, but no, she's not.
Well, you know, every card has its own little karmic package.
Yeah.
And Eight of Diamonds can be too pushy sometimes. They can be in power struggles with people all the time. And this can detract from the success they might otherwise have.
Oh, okay.
See, this depends on the individual, you know.
Right.
But if it involves money and power, you'll find Eight of Diamonds people hanging out there, usually.
Yes.
Because that's what their karma is. Their karma is to have these power struggles around money with other people, you see.
Wow. And that's like right on the nose.
That's what she's going through.
Yes.
At this point in her life.
Yeah.
So, you know, but your boss has to see the light himself. Unfortunately, as wise as you might be about the situation, is he in a relationship with this woman or something?
You know what? No, he's not. But, you know, she's been his accountant for, I probably would say 8 or 9 years. And she she actually manipulated her way into convincing him that she could turn the company around, and that's not what's happening.
But she hasn't been successful. I'm surprised that this King of Diamonds guy is so wimpy.
Oh, he is wimpy. He is.
I'm surprised. He's like the king that never found his crown.
I know, and I tell, you know what, I tell him that, I said, you know, he's got all the knowledge, you know, tell him I learned everything about this business through him, but he's not claiming his power at all.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you want to kind of grab it and take hold of it because you know you can do something with it, and he's like being this little mamby-pamby guy.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I think, oh, I'm just a jack, you know,
You have also the Queen of Hearts, and that's a very powerful card, actually.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, Queen of Hearts is a very powerful card. That's part of you, too. Don't forget that part.
Okay. I guess I was just looking at the diamonds, because he's a diamond, a king, and I just remember reading the Jack, you know, rarely.
But he sounds like he's a little bit confused and doesn't know what to do, you know. I mean, it's the feeling I get.
Yes.
Like he's like a little kid or something.
Yes, yes.
Not really being, you know, his most powerful self that he could be.
No, he's
so,
not.
You know, that's kind of a dangerous situation for you to play around in, actually, you know, with him, because being that way, he could just flip around, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
he could
possibly
say one thing one day and then say something completely different the next day.
Oh, God, that's, you hit it right on the head. Yeah.
So, you
that's
know,
why
I mean,
I'm so concerned.
Yeah, so, you know, you need to, like, you're in Neptune right now, so definitely not before your birthday. Don't do anything big.
Don't do anything.
And everything will kind of look different after your birthday, too. So don't make any big decisions until after then.
Okay.
Because you're in Neptune, it's kind of like the, you know, you're on drugs time of the year. Okay.
And I have a nine of diamonds in Neptune right now.
Yeah, 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 that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't invest in anything. Don't spend any money foolishly right now, and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But don't make any big financial decisions now either.
Okay.
You know, you don't want to push your luck in the with the Nine of Diamonds and Neptune. You don't want to cause any problems because of your, you know, anxiousness or anything like that.
Okay.
So you want to lay back. And just a watch. There's no hurry about
right
this
now.
Whole. Yeah, there's no big hurry, is there, right now? I mean, there's nothing you have to do you?
Well, you know, it's weird because it's really a timing issue, you know, and I'm having to sit back and watch this woman decrease the value of this company on, you know, on a daily basis.
So what does the boss say? Does he see that she's decreasing the value?
Well, I have regular talks with him. It just like you said, it's like I think he wants to crawl under a rock and not face the music.
Sounds like he wants to have some woman, you know, be his mama and take care of him or something.
I know.
He needs to get off the tit.
What's his other card?
Six of Hearts.
Oh, is that?
That's probably the wimpy part of him right there, the Six of Hearts.
Yeah.
Probably a mama's boy, though. I'm serious. I'm sure that he is.
Boy, I hope he's not listening.
Well, you know, he needs to, like, grow some balls. He does.
True. I just said that to my husband earlier today. I didn't say exactly that, but I said he needs to buck up.
Yeah. There's a new movie coming out with George Clooney. He's a king of diamonds. It's about football. I forget the name of the movie, but it's going to be about how football originally got started. And the previews are really crude. The previews are really cute because he's with Renee Zellweger.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like this woman that's involved, and he's like trying to form this league and stuff. And he plays this part so well, this kind of a dumb guy role, you know? So he's
dopey.
So she says she's going to be a reporter, a sports reporter. He goes, that's not work for a woman. Only men do that. And she goes, big strapping men? It's a great line. I can't wait to see the movie.
Oh,
just made me think
good.
Of that. But this, you know, this guy, I don't know, you know, you got to be careful because, see, he's in his little karmic thing going on there.
Yeah.
And you're getting kind of sucked into it, and you might be saying, well, I'm going to help this guy. But really, you're just trying to help yourself, really. You want those companies because you think you can make some money with it, I hope, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I've worked really, really hard, too, Robert. I mean, you know, at one point we were doing very, very well before this Eight of Diamonds stepped in. And so, and you know, I don't toot my own horn a lot, but it had a lot to do with me. So,
yeah, well, that's fine, but you see, you don't have the power unless he hands it to you.
Exactly.
And if it was me, my attitude would be, well, I'll just start my own company and just do better.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
I mean,
just,
you know,
become his competitor.
You know, I actually do have that option too. So
yeah, I mean, why would I mean, if it doesn't work out, like if he's going to be like this and really has to have this woman there and all this for whatever reason, because he might have some reasons, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
He might have, who knows?
Yeah.
What the reason might be.
I think it has to do with money, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, it could be something else. But whatever it is, if that gets in the way, there's nothing stopping you from having your own company.
Absolutely.
Maybe this will be the impetus to get you going and, you know, to really get out there and do something yourself.
Oh, gosh, that's great.
Okay, so it's great talking to you.
Well, it's good talking to you. Thank you. You've really,
right.
You know, helped me today.
You're welcome.
I'm stressed out, so it's like, okay, now, you know, I can...
You know, we have get-togethers here at my house in Concord sometimes.
You know, my sister lives in Concord.
Yeah, we had one just last weekend, so you should go to my website and sign up for the newsletter, and then you'll be on our mailing list for future events.
Oh, absolutely. I think I signed up for it. I haven't gotten my newsletter, though, yet.
You just now signed up? Just recently?
Yeah, just recently.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Recently.
You might not have got it yet, yeah.
Okay.
But you will if you signed up. Then in the future, if I have any events here, you'll get an invitation to come.
Oh, thank you. I know I'm close enough.
Yeah, you are. We had people coming from all the way from San Diego.
Oh, gosh, that's great.
Well, I know you're close enough.
Yeah, it's only an hour and 10 minutes, I think I can
exactly.
get there.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you so much, Robert.
All right, have a great rest of your night, Rachel.
Okay, you too. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we have time for one more caller, and we do have somebody, Lyle, from Richfield, Washington. Are you there, Lyle?
Yeah, I'm here.
How's it going, Lyle?
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
And are you born November 30th, 1957?
Yes, I was, in New York.
Okay, and you're interested in a relationship with somebody born on September 6th?
1959, but she was born in California.
Okay. And so what would you like to know about this, or what question do you have?
Well, I want to know if it's going to be a successful relationship, because we're getting along really well. We feel like buddies, and... So we have a lot in common, and, you know, I would like to know if it's something that, you know, would work out if it gets serious.
Well, it's going, I can tell you one thing, it's going to go great for the rest of this year.
Really?
if that's a help.
Okay, well, I would like to know, you know, about this year, but also into the future. I mean,
well,
how much of the future can you predict?
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
There are cards for every year of your life, but I don't normally look ahead that far for people because things change. We change, you know. So my first question to you is, what's your track record in relationships? What's your pattern?
I'm coming out of a 30-year marriage.
You are? Okay.
Yeah.
And what about her?
She's had a few marriages.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because it's very instrumental to know the history, because sometimes, you know, many of us kind of repeat our history over and over again.
Yeah, but isn't there a way that we can learn from what we've done, and isn't that like part of what we're supposed to be doing here?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's critical.
I mean, almost everything I've ever read in astrology, it will say something like, this is what you... Actually, that's one of the reasons I guess we read it. Is it'll tell you kind of this is the tendency, so you want to do this. You know, not a lot of people do it, but if you do it, can't you affect change that way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, your card and her card, typically your birthday and her birthday both have issues around commitment.
Yeah, but I don't usually have a problem with commitment.
Yeah, that seems to be true.
In a 30-year marriage. Huh?
I understand. I get that. And that's unusual for somebody of your birthday.
Why?
Because they have a lot of 3 energy and a lot of 5 energy, which is, number one, freedom is important often.
Well, I'm totally into that. I'm really interested in freedom and you know, like that.
Yeah, but I mean freedom to be free to see other people like that.
Oh, well, I don't really have an interest in that.
Yeah,
I really like one person. I mean, like being committed to one person.
Yeah, okay.
I like to kind of focus my freedom outside of the relationship. You know,
In what way?
I actually don't see how it's very free if you know you would like to be in an intimate relationship and you want that love, if you need that love, right?
Yeah.
How is it freeing to be out there looking for it all the time, going from one to another?
Some people actually love that.
But what happens when you don't have it? Then you don't have it. That's not very freeing.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I understand your point of view, but there are other people that, and it's not me, I'm not like that either. I want to have a relationship. But there are lots of people in this world who don't want one relationship. They want many relationships. And they do want to change.
Well, let me ask you a question. Isn't there a way to do it where you focus on, let's say in certain relationships, you have stability. And then in other relationships, you're more fluid. So for example, I do some retail, right? I mean, I actually have an interaction with the public, and I have a job where I employ people who don't necessarily stay very long, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a farmer, and people come and go, right?
Okay.
So I have a lot of fluidity in people coming and going in my life.
Okay.
You know, because of retail, because of selling to the public, so I'm always seeing new people. So I get my, you know, that interaction and change in another part of my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In a part of my life where I don't mind it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I don't really want fluidity in my home.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's room for variety of this sort. Well, there's certainly... Like, there's not... I'm just saying that typically... Do you know that you're the same birthday as Dr. John Gray?
No, I know I'm the same as Mark Twain,
mm-hmm.
Samuel Clemens,
yeah,
and mm-hmm. also Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
Both of which, by the way, were very monogamous and married in long-term marriages.
Yeah.
Winston Churchill and Mark Twain were both long-term married.
Yeah, but see, back in those days, it was different. You're also the same birthday.
I think that's my issue, is I'm still back in those days. I mean, my body's in this day, but I'm really back in those days.
Billy Idol is your birthday.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson. And Ridley
Scott. Bo
Jackson's
like a baseball player.
And Ben Stiller.
Uh-huh. Now, he doesn't seem like a philanderer.
I don't know his personal life at all. I never really read about him in the things. But, yeah, you're right. That's definitely a possibility, and obviously that's what's happening in your life. So in terms of your long-term compatibility with this woman, I mean, I don't see any problem with it. I don't see anything here that would say otherwise.
From me? What about from her?
Well, she's in the same boat as you. She's a 5. You're a 3 and a 5. She's a 5 and a queen of spades. And the 5 part of her has a freedom thing, but it can be expressed in more than one way. Her queen of spades is very marriageable, though. That part of her is, and so she has elements of both within her.
Tell me more about the queen of spades part.
The queen of spades part is the part of her that's very work-oriented, very responsible. Very motherly, those things.
She's definitely motherly.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really good mother.
They're usually hard workers, too.
Uh-huh.
Usually,
yeah. They say that about Virgos, too, don't they?
No, well, it's a sign of work, but it doesn't, no guarantee they'll be good workers or hard workers. They're really more about perfection than anything else.
Oh, Virgos. I see.
They're about self-perfection by following a mental construct of what perfection is. That's what they're really up to, Virgos. So, you know, do you guys get to travel at all?
No, not right now. We're kind of, you know, our lives are, she just moved to the area, and I'm coming out of this, you know, divorce thing, and I've got two girls, and my mom lives with me, and there's just a lot of stuff, you know, kind of a little bit settling things out. Well, I'm pretty settled because I'm a farmer. I'm attached to the land.
Well, you're pretty settled in your, at least you're settled in your career and all that. You know what you're doing, and you know.
Well, I know I want to do this. I know I'm always going to be a farmer. It's not even just a career. It's like, it's not just a vocation. It's an avocation. It's like part of my expression.
That's cool.
It's actually like an art too.
I think you're the first farmer that's ever called us.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, what are you doing here?
That's a pretty good joke, actually.
How did you end up on BBS Radio?
Well, actually, the lady that I care a lot about, she's the one who recommended that I call.
Oh, does she read my books or?
Yes, I think she's totally into the stuff that you do, and she thinks you're great, and she thinks the cards are great, and you know, it's not like it's a bad thing trying to figure out what's going on.
No. I mean, if it can help you, it's great, you know. I don't think I have any problem. I think you need to enjoy this relationship. And obviously you both are, like, commitment-oriented people, which is unusual for your birthday, but, you know, we can accept it. And I don't see a problem. I can see this, I can tell you this much, that this year she's all over your cards and it's good.
And what about out into the future?
It looks like you might get married, actually.
Really?
Are you guys talking
about it?
Are you talking about marriage? Are you talking about
it? Well, I'm very marriage-oriented. I'm a marriage guy. That's how I live.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind a period of time where everybody needs to get comfortable with each other and to make it something that's, you know, that everybody's sure about and comfortable with, because it takes a little while to make a big commitment forever. But,
is there any chance of her getting pregnant?
Well, you know, given the, that's very interesting.
I know she's 48 years old, but I'm just asking.
Well,
because the cards indicate something possible in that area.
That's very, very.
Well, I don't know what you're thinking about, but this must have come up before, otherwise you wouldn't be reacting like this.
This is very interesting, actually.
Okay.
So,
you don't have to tell us what it's all about. And,
okay, I don't know what it's all about. It's just very interesting that you mentioned it. So.
Well, you know, there are indications now, of course, you know, she's on that edge where it's probably not going to happen, but, you know, you never know. You never know. That's, and sex does cause that to happen sometimes.
Right.
So. Been known to cause pregnancies.
Right.
Anyway, I wish you well. I think things are great.
All right. Well,
I
thank
think
you
should
very
enjoy
much.
This relationship and just enjoy this. This is your romance period, so.
Well,
you
thank
know.
You very much. I'm really glad for your the opportunity for you to tell me what you told me. And
yeah, well,
keep
thanks
up
for
good
calling.
Work.
And all
right,
good luck
take care.
With your farming and everything. Thanks for being a guest.
Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. All right, everybody, that concludes our show. Our first farmer, I think probably one of the first farmers I've ever even talked to in probably the last 20 or 30 years. So great to have you on the show, Lyle. So this concludes our show tonight. We're going to end our show as we always do with my favorite song, which is called Gayatri. This is Robert Camp. I'll see you next week, same time. Hope you have a great week. Good night.
Om Purvama Swaha Tat Savitur Varinyam. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yo Na Prachodaya. Om Bhurbhuvaha Svaha Tat Savitur Varenyam. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yo Na Prachodaya. Tat-savitur-varinyam Bhargo-devasya dhimahi Deyo-yonat-prachodayam Om Bhur-bhuvah Svaha Tat-savitur-varinyam Bhargo-devasya dhimahi
Bhurbhuvah Svaha Tat Savitur Varenyam.
vasya vimahi deyo yo na prachodaya.
Hi, this is Christoph Goes on BBS Radio, where you can check tracks from my new album Turning Inside, because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
This is Pete Seeger, and you're listening to BBS Radio.